to Money Talks. I'm Troy Harmon. I'm here with Jim Crone and Jacob Keene. So, Jim, we've got a case study this week. We wanted to talk a little bit about this is a situation you might have run into a time or two, right?
There you go. We're finding actually more and more with stabilization in the economy and with businesses beginning to get legs underneath them. They're starting to see growth. They're starting to see options and opportunities out in the future that allow them better perspective on wanting to make sure that they keep a team together. If they've amassed a good organization and they have a core team of people that they want to make sure is going to be with them as that business continues to thrive and grow. One of the things that we're finding, we're having more conversations about non-qualified benefit plans.
All right.
And at the core, it allows ownership, whether it's a single person or a group of people, it allows ownership to identify those key people in that organization that are going to help carry it into the 10, 15, 20 years into the future. And they are benefit plans that are crafted and created so that they can keep those folks in the company.
So
key employees
looking to retain them.
That's the big idea.
All right.
Now, from an ownership standpoint, the other angle for that is that it's an avenue of types of plans wherein they don't have to give up equity. They don't have to give up ownership. And so it kind of works on both sides of that ledger. It allows ownership to say, okay, well, we know we're going to have these key guys and gals to make this thing really hum for the next several years. And instead of us dangling the carrot of percentage of ownership, while that can be there, these types of non-qualified benefit plans really come into play to allow them to do that, and it gives the executives types of retirement plans. Those are typically the conversations that flow from these things.
Okay, so non-qualified benefit is going to be retirement.
It's keyed in on primarily retirement. So they have a compensation package already established for any and all of these executives. These types of plans, non-qualified benefit plans, come in over and above those regular packages that are already in place that, you know, are there and competitive. You would just make the assumption they are competitive. In the example we have today, what we had a situation was a large manufacturer that had a tough time in their business, and they had to come in and get a turnaround specialist. Well, they got the guy. The person came in, and after a short period of time, they really figured out that this was the one they wanted to make sure was sitting in the seat for the next 10 years.
Sure.
And ownership said, okay, well, what are the type of plans that we can work our way through? And what we did was walk down a series of types of plans available. The one settled on by this particular company was something called a Supplemental Executive Retirement Plan, SERP for short.
All right. SERP.
That's your southern drawl pulling it out.
Oh,
but
I'm
it's
sorry.
SERP if you're...
This is not what you get at the Waffle House.
No, something different. This is SERP, S-E-R-P.
Right. Okay.
But the main idea was they needed something that would be comfortable for the corporation to fund today, and it was an agreement. It was a drafted legal document between the corporation, mainly the owner, but the corporation and this executive that spelled out what happens over the next 10 years. They said, look, if you're going to stay with us for 10 years, at the end of that, we're going to generate a payment to you for your retirement for, in this example, $200,000 a year. Now,
sure.
This is over and above anything that he already was taking him home in income and so on and so forth. The corporation then has a decision because it sits as a liability on the books because it's a agreement between the corporation and the executive. And for the 10 years that the individual is working, it sits now as a liability.
Sure.
And so they then have to make a separate decision on, well, where is the best place for us to put the funds set aside and also sit on the books of the company so that when we actually do have to pay out these obligations, we have funds ready made to be able to do that. And what we've talked to lots of different clients about is the best avenue to be able to use that is a life insurance policy.
Okay.
Because it has tax-favored treatment during the accumulation years,
right,
and can then be distributed from the company, can be used in a tax-favored way to be able to pay those executive payments when and if they come down the road 10 years from now.
All right.
So it's got some real neat attributes to it. There's a very specific type of a design that we focus on. A lot of times what we've come into is lots of people can have general conversations about life insurance.
Sure.
You hear things, buzzwords like tax-free growth, tax-free access to income. But it's the design of the policy that makes it attractive. We've seen, there used to be a study done annually by an executive benefit group for Fortune 500 companies. And they first asked how many of those companies in the Fortune 500 have executive benefits or non-qualified benefits. Virtually all of them, 97% have.
Really?
Have types of non-qualified benefit plans. Further on into the survey, you find, well, what is the asset of choice for the executives or for the corporations to use to fund those kind of benefits? And 67, almost 70% of the time, those are specially designed life insurance policies that back up those promises that are made to those executives. And really, when you really cut right to it, it's because of the tax-favored treatment that is there inside life insurance that gives them the wherewithal in making it economical for them to be able to manage both the promise made to the executive and the asset on the books.
All right. So this is like most other insurances. You've got a premium that you would pay.
Absolutely. And in this particular example, we funded a particular life insurance policy over a 10-year period, stopped the premiums, and then was able to draw out the necessary income so that that corporation can make those promised payments to that executive beginning in the 11th.
I have a couple of questions for you, Jim. Sure. Maybe you can answer. First of all, if a business is in some sort of an issue where they have to have a turnaround guy.
Yep.
Quite often the equity incentive is huge for them, right?
True.
How does the insurance act as an incentive as well? Is that something that you're concerned with?
Well, it's important to recognize that the insurance is somewhat of a byproduct of, it's a tool being used by the corporation. The real hook for the turnaround in this particular example is it's called a non-qualified benefit supplemental exec retirement plan. So
that's a mouthful of words.
they shorten it for SERP. That's where it comes.
Right.
So the hook was to not give up equity. And that was a family-owned business. They've been at it for many, many years. They did get into some challenges, and they did identify the key person that was going to come in and help them. And in fact, they did. They did a phenomenal job. And the corporation said, we need to figure out how to keep this guy. And instead of giving them equity, it was aligning the motivations so that the executive is there to make it happen and make that next successive management successful or set them up to be successful so that he knows he's going to continue to get those payments from the corporation. All that, it's aligning that motivation for a supplemental retirement plan, and for the for the corporations, they just didn't want to give up.
Just maintain the ownership.
Yeah, they just needed and wanted to maintain a family-owned business, and it worked out really well because the insurance again was a byproduct altogether. Insurance was a tool used by the corporation under a tax-favored instrument, so that they could grow the assets on the company books sufficient enough to make the payments that were going to come beginning in the 11th, 12th, 13th year. And that was just the way that it worked out.
Sure.
So
usually when a company's in a spot like that, needing a bit of a turnaround, sometimes it's difficult for them to make those kind of payments. I know if you just handed an executive equity, it would be painless to begin with, but it could be very, very expensive if things went right, if things went well. So do you think that would ever be something that's a worry? Or?
Well, anytime you're into the conversation about a non-qualified benefit plan, one of the factors that is brought up is a substantial risk of forfeiture. And that's a real issue, right? If you're the executive and you have an agreement, you have a piece of paper that says, boy, I'm going to get these payments starting in the 11th year, that risk of forfeiture is real, because if the company goes away, so does your retirement plan.
Yeah, right. So the incentive is there.
The incentive is there for making sure that not only he's doing all that he can to make that thing work, but setting up successive management so that they are successful.
Sure. So all things considered, it sounds like it could be a great alternative.
It works well. It's interesting. We do find that, again, back to the survey, there's Fortune 500 companies that just do it as part of their package. I mean, yeah. It's regularly available.
A lot of them give equity as well, though.
They do. Yeah. It's a little easier for them because it's you can look at it on the market.
Sure.
When you're down market and you're talking to businesses that have been in the family for generations, or
sure,
they just have a different thought related to giving up some of that equity.
Yeah.
But the issues that are available for the non-qualified plans at the Fortune 500 level, those concepts and those types of plans can and certainly are available when you move into the middle, small market, whatever your definition of that is.
Yeah.
And they can be very good and useful tools.
Sure.
So,
well, there you have it, folks. Jim Crone, a man with a clue.
Hey. Well, thank you, Chair.
We're going to take a real quick break before that. You're listening to Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.